Welcome to tonight's InfoWars Nightly News. Today's date is Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. And we're on the eve of exactly 13 years before the worst false flag attack in America's history. This attack was used to create the Department of Homeland Security, the TSA, and systematically dismantle any privacy rights that you may have thought that you had in this once great republic. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, an anti-gun group takes control of the 9/11 ceremony. Then, a new model shows the potential of an Ebola outbreak. And actor James Woods issues a challenge to the Attorney General. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Insanely, Eric Holder has come out and said it's basically racism that people are treating him with, quote, disrespect when he's ignored congressional subpoenas for 4 years.
Our top story tonight is out of InfoWars.com from Paul Joseph Watson. It is Obama set to ignore Congress and announce Syria strikes tonight. But before we get to what Paul Joseph Watson had to write, I want to read to you what the Washington Post said based on his article. Here it is. President Obama is prepared to use U.S. military airstrikes in Syria as part of an expanded campaign to defeat the Islamic State and does not believe he needs formal congressional approval to take that action, according to people who have spoken with the president in recent days. So that's when you have the Washington Post, the mouthpiece of the political establishment, spewing the establishment's talking points for it in a nice way, letting you know it's all okay and the president really doesn't need approval. Here's what Paul Joseph Watson had to write. President Barack Obama is set to ignore Congress once again by launching military strikes inside Syria without consulting lawmakers, a move that threatens to inflame the entire region, given that the Assad government has repeatedly insisted it will consider any military activity inside Syrian territory as an act of war. He continues, and citing ISIS, which was armed and funded by the United States' biggest allies in the region, as a justification for the military campaign inside Syria, Obama is set to accomplish what the administration failed to achieve last year after the chemical weapons attack in Ghouta was blamed on the Assad government, despite a subsequent MIT report which concluded the incident was more likely the work of U.S.-backed rebels. Now, what does that mean? That means that you're going to hear a bunch of talking points from the media that we're going to be backing Syrian, moderate Syrian rebels who actually fund ISIS and give ISIS the weapons that we give them. And you're also going to see this ramp up of, oh, it's chemical attacks. We got to go in because the Assad regime has chemical weapons. It's the same story that we see over and over again. And our reporting team we have up in New York right now of Joe Biggs, Liam McAdoo, and Josh Owens is up there. And they filed this report last night from Times Square concerning the recent ISIS so-called attacks.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com in New York City's Times Square. Right now, we know that there is an imminent threat by ISIS. You've seen our reports at the southern borders. You've seen what O'Keefe did in Canada, crossing over into America. So we know it's very easy for a terrorist group such as ISIS, which is also the largest terrorist group in the world, to come into America. We're here right now for the 13th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. This is not by incident. We know the Obama administration has turned their head on many things. We know that our government let Pearl Harbor happen. So what makes you think this won't happen again? We also know there are 28 pages that are classified still in the 9/11 report. Right now, I want to encourage you, the info warrior, the person watching this, to help support Ron Paul in the info war. Make a video, put it on social media, send it to us so we can let the people know that we want these 28 pages declassified. We've heard from Ron Paul that based off seeing this stuff and the people he's talked to, that he knows that President Bush had prior knowledge to the attacks before they happened. What makes you think that this could not happen again? We have this huge ISIS threat going on. They are the most well-funded group in the world. We're here right now where millions of people come every year to see the lights, to see what's going on. The world's eyes are on Times Square because the ISIS Jihadi magazine says that this is one of their number one spots to hit. This is serious. This is a crazy time in American history, and you better keep watching. You better see what's going on because I tell you right now that this is not a mistake. This is by design. We know with World Trade 7 falling out of nowhere, it looked like a demolition. Really? And you're going to sit there and say, no, that just happened out of nowhere? It was a complete and total planned collapse. The building's falling like that. Come on. There's so many truths out there for you to turn your eye and not pay attention to what's going on. So I encourage you, please, so much from the bottom of my heart. The only reason I joined the military is because of the attacks that happened here. And to wake up and find out that this was an inside job breaks my heart. Every time I come to New York City, I literally tear up. The cab ride here choked me up because I know when I go out there Thursday, I'm going to break down like I always do because I lost some of my best friends I've ever had in my entire life because of the attacks that happened, the wars we started, the millions of people who have died all over this world. It makes me sick to my stomach to see people still sleeping and not awake to what really happened. You need to wake up. Because the stuff going on out here isn't fake. Our government's behind it. And I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com bringing you updates out here right now.
So Joe Biggs and others are asking the question, will Times Square or other parts of New York be part of a anniversary attack? Will it be a false flag attack? Will it be a real attack? Either way, an attack will be used to take away our liberties. That is for certain, as we've seen time and time again from the underwear bomber on through all the other FBI informant bomb, fake bomb plots that have gone on in the United States. That's one thing for sure. It will be used to take away our liberties. One of the things also he mentioned in there were the 28 pages missing out of the 9/11 Commission report that have been classified. And momentum has been gathering big time. And on September 1st, we published an article from Washington's blog, Movement to Declassify 9/11 Information Gathers Momentum. Lee Hamilton and Thomas Keene, who are the 9/11 Commission co-chairs, have said that 60% to 70% of what was classified shouldn't have been classified in the first place. We've also had Representative Thomas Massey come out and give a speech. He actually went down into the secret room where you weren't allowed to take an iPhone or take notes or anything. You had an FBI agent present. He was actually able to read the 28 pages, and he came out and said he immediately called for them to be released to the public. And even Congressman Ron Paul has come out and said, this needs to go. And he's even trying to make a hashtag promotion out of it, a Twitter promotion, to get people to ask, just release the information, the whitewash information that you have, so we can make our own decisions. And here's a collection of those clips right now.
Yes, they should be. I am embarrassed that they're not declassified. We emphasize throughout transparency. And when I assumed incorrectly that our records would be public, all of them, everything. And then when I learned that a number of the documents were classified or even redacted, I was surprised and disappointed. I want those documents declassified. I'm embarrassed to be associated with a work product that is secret.
This is something that the families deserve to know. This information, it's been a decade, over a decade, 13 years since this event happened. And we've had a narrative in the media and in the press and in the collective American conscience of what happened that day. But I don't think it's fully informed, and it won't be fully informed until everybody gets to see these 28 pages. And just to echo what Congressman Lynch said, I'm here for the families, but I'm also here for our country to look forward. We have to decide how to prevent another 9/11 type event from happening. Until you have the full picture of what actually happened, the intelligence picture, how can you participate in that debate? How can we know that what we do will prevent another 9/11 from happening?
I deserve to know the truth hidden in the 9/11 report, and so do you. Join me in the hashtag declassify campaign and make your voice heard.
So it's not just nut job, tinfoil hat wearing crazy conspiracy theorists that are asking that the government release what it considers the full story. It's actually people who were on the commission, current representatives and former representatives that are asking for this information to be released. And you can join in on by just asking your congressman and your representative and your senator, release the information. Now let's move on to the other big thing that's trending in the news, the iPhone, or as we like to say, the apple of Sauron's eye here at InfoWars. But I want to start off with this story first, because this iPhone and these smartphones and these tablets, this cashless society that's coming in, we're not going to be the ones that are going to be fully enveloped into it. We're the ones that are going to have to be whipped into it because we're not going to go quickly. We still like cash. We still like credit cards. We still like things that just aren't one thing holds all. We don't like that. We don't like the one ring of power. We like to have our assets spread out. But the children out there, my children included, are literally addicted to these new objects. My little baby understands how you can move your finger across a phone and look at pictures because I've showed him pictures of it before. My 4-year-old loves the tablet. My 9-year-old loves the tablet. I mean, it is scary stuff out there. And here's an article from the Mail Online. Generation helpless. Children are now better at using smartphones than swimming, tying their shoelaces, and even telling time. Now, before we go any further, I just want to say this. My 2 oldest know how to tie their shoes, and they're great swimmers, and they know how to tell time. But I feel really bad for children out there that do not know how to do those things but know how to activate a tablet. Let's go into the article. Findings revealed more children could use a tablet than tie their shoelaces. This is true for swimming and telling time. And a third of 2 to 4-year-olds own a tablet and spend an average of 2 hours and 35 minutes a day on these devices. And then they have a chart here in this article. What can your child do confidently? And then they list the activities. Riding a bike, 60%. Maneuver around a tablet, 59%. Work a mobile phone, 57%. And then they have read, 57%. Tie their shoelaces, 53%. Swim, 52%. And tell the time, 49%. Very scary stats indeed. And it goes on even scarier. Ages 5 to 7, these kids spend an average of 3 hours a day on these tablets. And it gets worse. As you get older, 8 to 10, they're spending nearly an average of nearly 4 hours if you combine video games, phones, and computers. 4 hours a day looking at a screen, not running around, not breathing fresh air, not having a good time with their friends, but isolated one-on-one with that computer, which is teaching you a lot of things. It's teaching you a lot, more than you should know at that age. Pretty scary stuff, which leads us back to the iPhone and this video yesterday that Paul Joseph Watson released. iPhone 6, is Apple Pay the mark of the beast? We go to that report.
Today saw the launch of the new Apple iPhone 6, but what flew under the radar amidst the hype surrounding the release of the new device is the fact that the Apple Pay system, which is being supported by Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, will mandate users scan their fingerprints in order to make a purchase. Does this represent the mark of the beast system mentioned in the Bible? Well, yes, according to many people on Twitter, who exploded with concerns about how Apple was becoming a little too, quote, antichristy. What's the mark of the beast? Well, it's a passage out of Revelations, which states, quote, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name, and his number is 666. So for many decades, Christians have been warning about the fact that this mark of the beast was going to come in the form of either a microchip, a digital tattoo, or the fingerprint itself, and that it would be mandated for all purchases. Obviously, there are already numerous different versions of payment systems which use either the fingerprint scan or the palm scan already in existence, but Apple Pay is the first one to have the direct backing of all the big boys, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, as well as major stores like Macy's, McDonald's, Bloomingdale's, and Whole Foods. They're already going to have this technology in place, ready to use when the Apple iPhone 6 rolls out. The International Business Times reports, with Apple Pay, iPhone users hold their phones up to near-field communication NFC terminals, hold their finger onto the device's fingerprint sensor, and the transaction is completed wirelessly. Apple promises that it won't sell your private purchase data to other companies or to the government. Just like it didn't provide, quote, direct access, according to Edward Snowden, to Apple's backdoor database to the National Security Agency. Oh, and let's not concern ourselves either about the fact that an NSA slide referred to iPhone users as, quote, zombies, and to Steve Jobs as Big Brother. But wait, there's more. The Apple iWatch. As if you're not looking at your cell phone enough while avoiding humanity and the nagging voice of conscience, here's a new product to keep you distracted from reality. So what's coming next? The Apple ankle bracelet? Well, we better not go there because I don't want to give them ideas. Check out the other videos, subscribe to the channel. I'm Paul Joseph Watson reporting for Infowars.com.
So the biometric Mark II buy and sell, is it the mark of the beast? Is it coming from Apple? Apple, whose logo happens to be the apple that Eve took a bite out of, the original sin. Very interesting. Also, you could say there's a lot of money riding on this technology. Go to Bloomberg here. Apple said to reap fees from banks in new payment system. And this is what I think is interesting. Currently, the tech company get a share of more than $40 billion that the banks generate annually from so-called swipe fees. Now, in just 3 years, this is expected to more than double. If you look at the growing market section, the mobile payments market will probably more than quadruple to about $90 billion by the year 2014. I mean, it is going to be out of sight, out of mind. That is why Apple is doing this. Is it the mark on the beast? Well, they have yet to eject the buying or sell device into your body, but this is about as close as it could get. The next phase will be the implantable microchip to buy and sell. You can believe that, and we've been telling you about that for years. Alex Jones was telling you about that in Police State 3. Reflections and Warnings with Aaron Russo talks about how he had conversations, Aaron Russo did, with one of the Rockefellers and how they were going to put the chip in them, but the elites were going to have a chip that says, get off my back or get off my lawn or get out of here, you a-hole, something like that. Really, really interesting stuff. But the rest of us are going to have these chips and they're going to be to buy and sell. And if you don't have them, you're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to travel. You won't be able to do anything. Wait, it's coming. Don't you worry. Now we move on to our favorite Eric Holder. And this is James Woods took to Twitter yesterday and he's on a mission. James Woods on a mission issues hashtag Holder challenge, asks followers for help. Hollywood actor James Woods has thrown down the gauntlet to America's Attorney General Eric Holder and dared him to condemn the brutal beating of three white men by a group of black hooligans as a racist assault and hate crime. You might have seen the video yesterday. One of the victims in, I think it was a Kroger parking lot, was hit with pumpkins. Actually, he was actually attacked by pumpkins. And Alex had the comment there, the guy just literally laid down and took it, didn't even go down with a fight. These kids going out there doing these attacks better watch it, because one day they're going to pick on the guy who's carrying that concealed carry gun in it, and it could be anybody. And it's probably going to be the old man that you think will be the easy target. My grandparents, one time, they had a timeshare condo in Florida, and some guys were messing with them at the beach. They went back up to their room. The guys followed them up to the room, started beating on their door, and it was getting dark. And guess what? They pulled out the revolver and fired a shot through the door. Guess what? The hooligans left, didn't bother them anymore. And that's how you have to handle these kids. You cannot show any mercy. You cannot show any fear, because you will get picked apart like a prey animal. Let's go into some of Woods' quotes here, some of his tweets. This is a direct challenge to Eric Holder. Are you, sir, going to Memphis, Tennessee to address the Kroger racial hate crime hashtag Kroger challenge? Here's another one. I've never asked my followers to do anything on my behalf before. Please retweet my hashtag Holder challenge to Eric Holder in previous tweet. Where are you, Mr. Holder? Racial hate crime of any kind is an abomination. Hashtag Holder challenge. There is no black in America. There is no white. There is only right or wrong. Racial hatred is wrong, period. Hashtag Holder challenge. And you could read the article for the rest of them. The article's title was in today's featured section. James Woods on a mission issues hashtag Holder challenge, asks followers for help. And while this is noble, I think we should be calling out Eric Holder on a whole host of other crimes. But going back to the racial issue, we have a clip from Alex Jones. This is a few months ago, talking about how Eric Holder thought everybody was against him and they're all racist because they actually want him to account for some of the things he was doing wrong. Here's that clip.
Insanely, Eric Holder has come out and said it's basically racism that people are treating him with, quote, disrespect when he's ignored congressional subpoenas for 4 years. And he says no attorney general's ever been treated like this. I could dig up three today when I saw this clip in a few minutes online in the last 100 years that served prison time. The last one was John N. Menchel, served 19 months and died in prison due to his involvement in the Watergate affair. He was sentenced to prison in 1977, serving 19 months. I mean, I've got the Attorney General saying that never happened. Of course, this guy's as white as a snowflake, as bald as a cue ball, and as goofy looking as a rattlesnake. The point is that that's all they've got now is race card. You don't like Obamacare raping the daylights out of you? You're a racist. Don't want to turn your guns in? You're KKK, Hank Aaron says. Or if you don't like Obamacare, you're a racist, Hank Aaron says. Hank Aaron?
So not only is Eric Holder a professional race baiter, as you've seen in his trips going up to Ferguson, I'm also going to tell you about how he likes to waste your taxpayer money. So he's a bilker. He's also a gun runner. And he's also a cover-up crime artist. I'm going to explain all these right now. First article here. This is from March 25th, 2014, from Liberty Blitzkrieg. Eric Holder and the DOJ have spent millions of taxpayers' dollars on unreported personal travel. Yeah. There he goes. He's doing that on your dime, people. Despite his unique role, Eric Holder has spent the past 5 years taking absolutely zero action on any matter of national significance, except for race baiting. In fact, his major claim to fame appears to be that he has solidified the creation of a group of untouchable criminals known as the Too Big to Jail class. So he's looking out for the bankers. So what does Eric Holder do in his spare time? You know, when he isn't coddling financial oligarchs or running firearms into Mexico. Apparently, according to a recent study from the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office, he likes to hop on government planes for personal trips at cash-spare expense. Surf's up, suckers, and you could read all about that in the article. Of course, he doesn't know anything that's going on in his administration. And back in 2011, CBS News reported, this from Cheryl Atkinson, ATF Fast and Furious Attorney General was briefed in July 2010. New documents obtained by CBS News show Attorney General Eric Holder was sent briefings on the controversial Fast and Furious operation as far back as July 2010 that directly contradicts his lying statements to Congress. I added the lying in. On May 3rd, 2011, so almost a year to when he was told about this, Eric Holder told the Judiciary Committee he's not sure the exact date, but I probably heard about Fast and Furious for the first time over the last few weeks. Wow. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's sure not stopping those guns. And then later, more memos came out that they were doing this to demonize the Second Amendment and go after your Second Amendment. But we're not done. Back in the 90s, there was this little thing called the Oklahoma City bombing. And at one point, Jesse Trinity's brother, Michael, was arrested, and they thought this guy looked like one of the people Timothy McVeigh was hanging out with, so they basically killed him in jail, even though he had nothing to do with the Oklahoma City bombing. Well, Eric Holder actually turns out was running a cover-up of that murder, because if people started probing into that murder, they were going to see what really happened. Here it is from 2008, Paul Joseph Watson and Alec Jones. Obama's attorney general nominee had a role in OKC murder cover-up. Leaked DOJ memos shed new light on the role of Barack Obama's attorney general nominee, Eric Holder, in the cover-up of the death of Kenneth Michael Trinity, who was tortured to death by FBI agents after they confused him with one of Timothy McVeigh's accomplices in the Oklahoma City bombing. And the new twist in the story revolves around Trinity obtaining leaked DOJ memos that indicate a flurry of activity around how to handle the cover-up of his brother's death. A key player in the cover-up was Eric Holder, who earlier in the week was named to be the nominee of the Attorney General. The Department of Justice memos, well, they're actually emails, and they're talking about Deputy Attorney General Eric Holder and what he was going to do to keep a lid on the story, said Trinity, adding that the memos make it clear that an attempt to deflect press attention is the goal, along with claiming the investigation is ongoing in order to keep everything secret. So their goal was to just push out this investigation, just say it was ongoing so they can't talk about it, keep it classified. That is the MO of what we're seeing now. Basically, every agency in the government now wants to just hold everything secret, pretend like we're dumb children so they can operate with impunity. And that is what Eric Holder was doing in the case of Kenneth Michael Trinity's death. Oh, I also forgot. He likes to brainwash people. In fact, we have a clip of him saying, hey, we're going to brainwash people about guns. And we'll go to that clip as we go to break, and we'll be back with more on Ebola. And what else do we have coming up? And a vice principal who was arrested for carrying a gun legally. That's what happens in the new America. You're a slave. Don't forget it. It's the InfoWars Nightly News.
Part of every day, some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp-looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. We've got some Ebola news. Recently, researchers from MIT have been doing models and stuff just to study the spread of what you see going on in Africa right now, which is kind of going on terrestrially through the ground, through infected patients. We're flying infected patients into the United States. We're flying them into the UK. And what their model is showing, it only takes one infected individual making it through an airport checkpoint. Health officials around the world are scrambling to contain the Ebola virus. This is by Mark Slavo from the shtfplan.com. Health officials around the world are scrambling to contain the Ebola virus, with many, including the CDC and World Health Organization, preparing for the eventual escape out of West Africa. It's already happening, people. They're not preparing. Mathematical models performed by numerous researchers suggest that anywhere from 20,000 to 100,000 people globally could contract the virus by December of this year. Researcher Yanir Baryam, whose model predicted the rise of the Arab Spring just weeks before it actually happened, had been modeling virus outbreaks since 2006. In a report published in conjunction with MIT and the New England Complex System Institute, Baryam and his colleagues developed a host pathogen model to predict the spread of the emergent disease, including Ebola, in evolving ecosystems. And we're showing you that spread right now. It starts off in Africa, then slowly spreads to the Caribbean, up into Europe, then into the United States. You can see it going into Australia, South America, and finally enveloping all of Russia. And it's not going to take long for that to happen. And it will happen, especially as they keep developing these viruses in labs. And as these viruses get accidentally released or stolen or missing, they don't have a lid on this stuff. There is no control mechanism. They're bringing patients in and not even keeping them in level 4 facilities. They're in level 2 facilities. This is not the way it should be done. Don't believe the hype when they tell you there's a lid on it and it's safe. It's a real scary thing. Let's move on to some gun-grabbing news. Vice principal files a claim against city and police over gun arrest. Tevis Junior High School administrator, who was arrested and subsequently released last month after bringing a gun to school, has filed a claim against the city of Bakersfield and its police department, according to his attorney, Daniel Rodriguez. Kent Williams, 51, vice principal at the school since 2010, said he was falsely arrested by BPD officers for bringing a handgun to school because he had a valid concealed weapons permit and showed it to them before the arrest was ever made. And we go now to a report from Jakari Jackson, which has more to this story. So there you see that some school systems, mainly ones in Texas, are actually encouraging teachers to carry guns, mainly because they are going to be their first responders in these situations. And that's what I like to see. I like to see people taking responsibility for their own actions and not just depending on others to help them. Now we're going to do some final 9/11 news. Leanne McAdoo filed this report today. She learned, one, that the first responders were not going to be let into the 9/11 ceremonies. They're being kicked out again. And that, I guess you could say the baton has been tossed from this 9/11 group to a Bloomberg group who is now in charge of the ceremonies, is in charge of, the funds and where they go and what happens to them. And she's going to talk about some news that happened back in 2001 that may surprise you about September 11th. I'm going to go to that report now.
I'm Leanne McAdoo reporting for InfoWars.com, standing right off of Broadway here in Times Square, New York City. This is the epicenter of the terror threat that was posed by ISIS, according to their online jihadi recruitment magazine. Now, we were shocked to find out this morning that Mayor Bill de Blasio does not even have the security clearance to access the classified information that would be necessary to protect this city from a potential terror attack. Now, the New York Post reports that potentially he didn't want them doing a little bit of digging into his visit to communist Cuba years ago or his ties to the Marxist Sandinista party. So here we have a mayor that can't even protect his city because he doesn't want them to do a little bit of digging into his background to go ahead and get that security clearance. Now, former mayor Michael Bloomberg does have security clearance. He is able to access classified information, and he's also able to continue to access the funds that are meant for the victims and the families of the September 11th terror attacks. Now, Mayor Bloomberg has always been in charge of the September 11th ceremonies for the last 13 years, ever since those towers were toppled so long ago. But before he left office, he passed that honor over to the National September 11th Memorial Museum and World Trade Center Foundation, of which he is the foundation's chairman. That means he is in control of all of those funds that funnel in when people visit the museum. Everyone that has to pay $25 to visit that museum, all the memorabilia that they buy, even the family members have to pay $25 when they go and visit the museum. That's like asking a parent to pay money to access their child's grave. Now, why is this so offensive and frightening? Well, we know that Bloomberg is the ultimate nanny, and he has his pet project agenda, like taking away your Second Amendment right. It's not just banning the size of sodas you can drink. He wants to take away Americans and definitely New Yorkers' Second Amendment right. Now, why is this frightening? According to this article that was originally posted by the Washington Times in 2001, the September 11th fund, United Way, giving donations to leftist causes. One of the largest relief funds that was set up to help the victims of the September 11th attacks has awarded grants totaling more than $1 million to a variety of left-wing political groups that are devoted to causes like hate crime legislation, expanded welfare, gun control, and nationalized health care. But critics are saying that many of the groups that are receiving charitable contributions from this fund have little or nothing to do with helping victims of the attacks. And records show that contributions are used to pay for things including ethnic media, office equipment, and massage therapy. And a top official with the National Legal and Policy Center called it a shame that so much money was being dispersed to groups with a clear political or ideological agenda. Now, this was reported November 20th, 2001, so just a couple of months following the September 11th attack. Just a couple of months, they were already funneling that money out of the funds that were supposed to go to the victims and families and the first responders there following the September 11th terror attacks into their leftist ideological political groups, political causes. And that is exactly what former Mayor Bloomberg could do with the funds that are supposed to go to the victims' families. So once again, the victims' families are going to be screwed over in order to take your Second Amendment right. If United Way could do it, Bloomberg could too. For InfoWars.com, I'm Leanne McAdoo.
So the report they were showing on their phone, I'm sure you couldn't read that, but I have it right here. And this is from November 20th, 2001, September 11th fund, United Way, giving donations to leftist causes. One of the largest relief funds set up to help the victims of the September 11th attacks has been awarded grants totaling more than $1 million to a variety of left-wing political groups devoted to causes like hate crime legislation, expanded welfare, gun control, and nationalized health care. And that's our old friend Mark Morano reporting that from CNSNews.com. But critics say many of the groups receiving charitable contributions from the fund have little or nothing to do with helping the victims of the attacks. And records show contributions are used to pay for things including ethnic media, office equipment, and massage therapy. So that's what happens with all the money that you were given to the victims' families. It wasn't really going to them. It was moving around to other locations. That's what happens when you get all this money and there's not much to show for it. Very interesting times. We're going to have them tomorrow live with Alex Jones during the show and possibly, again, during a expanded fourth hour that we're going to be doing live in this studio tomorrow, a big September 11th special. I don't want to say spectacular because there's nothing spectacular about September 11th. I still remember the day that it happened. I woke up late, going in late for work because I was up late, really late the night before, and my mother was calling me saying, turn on the TV, turn on the TV. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like the rest of you going, oh my goodness. One person who did have the answer and who was predicting it months before was Alex Jones, who was demonized for coming out and saying that it was an inside job. But it turns out the evidence is there that he was right. That's our show for tonight. Please remember, if you like what you're watching here, become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It helps what we're doing, helps send reporters out in the field, helps pay for studios like this and keep us going and help push that alternative narrative, that real news narrative, not the fake corporate news, but news that's not been bought off by giant corporate media or the government. And with that, that's our show. We'll see you again tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.